Buonasera a tutti. The Italian project in the Eastern Egyptian Desert is a joint project of the different institutions you can read on the screen, and these are the persons which are involved in the only two missions we were able to perform, because the missions the mission was authorized in 2011, but we could only carry out two seasons of field work, one in 2012 and one in 2015, because of the combined difficulties of obtaining together permissions from the Supreme Council and military authorities, which have not allowed us to perform more seasons. And we should have worked in January now, in January 2016, but unfortunately, we were among the foreign missions which were due to start working around the mid of January, and we were not allowed to work before the end of the, after the anniversary of the revolution, and so we couldn't stay, and we had to left. So when I gladly accepted the kind invitation of Jean-Pierre Brun, I was hoping that I could bring here some first result also from this January missions, mission, and this has not been, unfortunately, the case. So this is the area of the grant, and these are the two itineraries in red and in black of the two different seasons we could work in. Our work started from what is known as the Greco-Roman station on the Wadi Gassous. Gassous and not Gawazis, because they are too different. Anyway, we started from here because the Wadi Gawazis is where the joint mission of the Boston University and Oriental University has discovered the pharaonic port, which is, has been published. And as three of the people of our mission were also working there, they had noticed during the visit from the Marsa Gawazis mission to the Greco-Roman station, they could notice that there were plenty, that's what they were saying, of Middle Kingdom water jars. And so this is why we started working here, just to try to understand how this strange stratigraphic mission situation can work. In fact, Andrea Manzo, who was working in the port in Marsa Gawazis, had already noticed that our Greco-Roman station is only seven kilometers inland, and the two Ouidian are in fact very near Gawazis and Gassous, and so that this could be a good water point for people arriving from the sea. The problem is that the name of station is, in a way, is misleading, because the area is in fact made of two different parts. On the bottom of the wadi, this one, and on the mountain, on the terrace over the wadi, the so-called station. So what we have on the bottom of the wadi is this green area, which I think should be the water point, so should be a well. This idea comes only from comparing the pictures from the IFAO publication, which give more or less the same idea that this could be a well. There is this irregular enclosure, which is already in the plan of Schweinfurt, which calls it an hydroma, in fact. So these are different pictures of the area, and the others were the. No, voglio tornare sulle water jars. Eccole. These are the water jars that Andrea Manzo identified as the same which are on the Middle Kingdom harbor of Marsa Gawazis. And these are the reason why we started this, the second missions, mission we could perform. We started a pottery survey to try to understand and to give an estimate of the percentage of residual pottery and, let's say, contemporary pottery. These are the different pictures of the station, just in order to show that, as other people have already said, the situation is becoming very rapidly quite worrying, because here you have all the cuts which are made through the site and which are, ecco, here you have many, many of them, and which are rendering always more difficult to work there. These are just images of the pottery survey, which gave as a result a percentage of 20% of Middle Kingdom pottery compared to 80% of contemporary pottery. Among the contemporary pottery is this one, which looks completely like a Dressel 2-4 bifid, how do you pronounce bifid handle, which is fired gray, as you say, but they are completely like the one I know from, let's say, from Italy. During the survey, Annalena, who conducted it, was also able to recognize this, which have always been identified by the same Andrea Manzo as the same Nubian pottery from Middle Kingdom he knows from Arsagawasi. So you see, we have a great problem of trying to understand the situation. Of course, the site is characterized by a strong deflation, and so we have, in fact, hand by hand pottery fragments from very different periods. But the other problem is that Sayed, which has been mentioned just before, has conducted thorough excavation here, and so he has worked everywhere on the site of the station, and so we don't know if we could, in fact, give some results from proper excavations, which gives other problems of time and money and expenditure. Anyway, as I said, you have seen before, there are different persons and different fields involved, and Giulio Lucarini, which is now in Cambridge, has also performed a survey of the site of the Sterras and has detected this that he calls Steinplatz, which give the idea of some occupation before the historic time occupation, let's say. When I was trying to find a comparison for the plan of this station, which is in fact a very, it's made of different buildings which are not related between them, they have not the same orientation, they have different building techniques, in fact they don't have anything to put them in relation. The only plan I found more similar to ours is this one from which has been published by Katharina Rieger in the Cairo Mitteilungen on her work in the Marmariquet Plain plateau, because she has identified this simple, let's say, building, which has no kind of control gate, towers, fortification, and that she calls as a simply road station with a stair and a kitchen, which are probably the same characteristic we can find in our. One more problem between the station is that one of the buildings of the station is said to be the building where this Middle Kingdom inscription have been found by Wilkinson in 19th century. Careful observation of the original drawings has led Rosanna Pirelli to recognize that, in fact, this is not a rock cut, not a stele, but is, on the contrary, a rock cut inscription, which has been only in a second time removed and probably placed within the building of the station. So this can give an idea of a way of treating this site in a period that we can at all decide when it was made, because it was could be done, I think, any moment up to Roman times. They could have been taken and displayed here. Anyway, as the rock is a basalt rock, we were trying to look around the area of the Greco-Roman station if there were a place where this basalt rock could be found. And as one of the stele of the inscription mentions a safe return from sea of a voyage on the sea, our idea was that if we could find a wadi connecting in a north-south the Wadi Gasus and the Wadi Gawazis, this wadi could give some indication of the probably originally location of this stele. But this has not been the case, because we have found a wadi which is an easy way connecting Wadi Gasus and Wadi Gawazis, but this is an evaporite hill, and so it cannot have housed the basalt inscription you have here. So we have not yet located, and I think it won't be much easier to be done, the original place of this stele, which have been only in a second moment installed in the chapel. This the black and white photograph is taken from Sayed publication when he excavated in the area of the Greco-Roman station, and he was looking for pharaonic material, which was his main interest. And he doesn't mention the water jars from the Middle Kingdom, which, in the opinion of my Egyptologist colleagues, is why he was not at all interested in pottery, and so he was looking only clear pharaonic materials. But I'm not completely convinced of this solution, because if he was working also in Marsa Gawazis, he had certainly noticed these water jars himself. Anyway, he's just mentioning this Itifallic mean, which is in fact related to mining activities which have certainly taken place in the area. Whereas on the right, you have this miniaturistic imitation black cloth ware, which we have just found in the cut of the bulldozer. So we don't properly excavate it. It was just taken from the cut of the bulldozer underneath the level of the Roman occupation. So this could give an indication of probably an activity related to some cult in Hellenistic times. The second problem, another problem we face on the station, is there is a huge quantity of sagars, of this kind of vases, which have been recently published by Paul Nicholson, which is has studied the fragments from Khom Elul, and he could state that these kind of objects, which are absolutely the same he is describing, are used in the second stage of producing faience object. So the first stage is the biscuit. You do it in very big sagar, which never have fragments of glaze within. The second stage of the producing of faience object is called the glazing, and you always have remains of glazing inside, as you have here. So these are our fragments, and these are the one published by Nicholson, which are exactly the same. The only difference I noticed, because Nicholson is very precise in his description, is that we have on the two right pictures, you have textiles remains under the glaze. And I think that these remains are when you produce the sagar handmade over a round object, you might use probably a textile to easily remove removing the fabric from the core in a way. And so I think this is why we found these textile fragments. Anyway, this is the only trace of production we have. There are more than 150 T-rim base fragments. So it's quite a huge number whose function on the site we can at all ascertain, because there is nothing which can point to a production on the site. Of course, the problem could relate to the production of the color, which is always, in a way, bound to the production of objects. But I have not yet found many, waiting for the publication from Laetitia Cavassa of this colloquy, L'École Française d'Athènes, in 2009, where she has treated the problem of production of Egyptian blue. I have found no other evidence, but these are quite similar to arts, but I don't have nothing more than this. The second major site we were able to visit is the one which has been judged to be a gold mining site. We had previously, our impression was that this site was not in the Clem und Clem book, because in fact they give slightly different coordinates, and especially because they speak of a huge quantity of green glazed Islamic pottery, and we have not found anything of them. Anyway, looking at the aerial photographs they publish is exactly the same as the one where we have been working, which can be characterized by as a gold mining site, especially by the huge tailings which are on the site. The photograph is quite not a nice color, but a completely pink color. And when you look at the fragment of the stone quartz and the vein where the gold is extracted, is the same red you can see here. So other of them, and here just to show that we also, although we are much more far from the coast, we are suffering the same problem of a site being in a way vandalized, and I'm afraid that we will soon be deprived from any archaeological base to try to conduct our work and to try to understand more as it all works, because the problem with us, not having done proper excavation, of course, we lack chronology. And so although we can try to put in system some evidence, then we have no certitude about them being really connected one to the other. And these are what are probably to be identified as washing tables on the same site. Another one where I think that here a wooden table could be placed. And we just mapped a section of this mining site, and which is characterized by the only rectangular in plan building, which is has a commanding view over around 40 round huts, which are, this is the square plan. This is the view you get from there. And these are just a view of the round huts over there. This imitation of African red sleepwear and these fragments from of a late Roman amphora, which is late Roman 6, if I'm not wrong, 6 or 7, I can't remember, can give us an indication of the use of these fragments. Whereas, I know that Jean-Pierre Brun was not any of the opinion that these mills should be dated to Roman times, whereas I have what I could read date them to Roman times. So I think that this could be the late Roman period mining site. Of course, it's a small one, and it's also one which has probably lived a very short life, where we must anyway imagine people living and working side by side in a controlled situation. And I I think, a controlled situation because the different hats are all made the same way. Trying to find a chronological relationship between the different evidence, Rosanna Pirelli has studied the different inscriptions which come from the area, which are in fact here. We will see the picture in a moment. It's a very famous Psammeticus inscriptions, which has meanwhile been stolen, and which she relates especially to mining activities. Here, from this point, you reach the Bira Bugowa spring, and so we can also imagine that the sign can direct you here. And if you go straight ahead, you reach the mining site. So the problem is trying to understand if these different points can have lived together at a certain moment. Once again, Andrea Manzo states that he's sure that some of the pottery he has seen the pictures of can be related to Middle Kingdom pottery. And so he's still of the idea that before the Roman or late Roman exploitation of the site, probably pharaonic material could have been worked here. This is just the water source, and these are this description of Psammeticus, which we have meanwhile asserted that it has been completely stolen. Always from the same period, of, dated by this inscription studied by Vikentiev and Rosanna Pirelli, which is on the opening of a Galena mine, which could be part of the same system. Unfortunately, this inscription also has been heavily damaged. This is what we have found the last time we have been there. The habit of inscribing the landscape around the area we have just seen continues with these petroglyphs with camels and armed people, which are here. In the last mission, we were looking for other water point in the Wadi Safaga, and we in effect found them. And we have also visited this big water basin in Bir Wasif, which is at the moment dry, but where the remains on the wall can give an impression, an idea of the quantity of water he could hold. So here, this is the wadi which could connect Wadi Gassous and Wadi Gwagwasis. And when we were looking for this track, we have found two more evidence. One is this, this is also from Giulio Lucarini, which has just given this comparison with the Solvayne cave, which is only 30 kilometers southeast of this area, and where he could just pick up this biface, you say there. The tower you have seen in the previous image is this one, which is in fact quite a small structure, and it's not, you can't enter it. It's a, how do you say, a struttura piena? Qualunque linguaggio. I mean, it's well, probably could be a cairn, but in fact, the hill mounts again, and on the top of the hill, There is no structure to be identified, but there is what I should say is a floor which is made according to Roman rule of preparing floor, because you have all the big pebbles placed in a vertical line, and I think that this could be part of this system. And the last one was the finding of these tumuli you see here, which are quite easily to be reached by this north-south wadi, which can be probably, we have no idea what they are. We have just visited them and taken the picture. There are almost no material in them, but they look quite like graves of later periods. There are the comparison from Berenike, which were published by the Kennedy. She's dating them to 4th and 6th century AD. Anyway, as I said, we don't have any possibility of giving a chronology from them. And the last part of pictures I want to show refer to what, in fact, is an activity we didn't carry out for lack of time and of knowledge, because this is not our field, but all this area of Wadi Gasuz is full of small structures which have been probably related to phosphate extraction, whose remains are much more readily visible in the famous ghost city of Umm Hawetat El Bahri, which is this early 50 installation, which is still to be recognizable over there. But these are much smaller structures, which are always characterized by these different remains of pottery. Some of them look as dumping sites, like the one here. Other look more as abandoned sites. So, and you have together traditional pottery, like these water amphoras, which are made precisely like the ancient one, and then you have tin or switch, light switch, and so on. So a part of activity we can certainly not carry on, but which is also very interesting to try to understand which kind of human activities were carried out here. As I said, the problem of chronology doesn't allow us for the moment to understand how the different phases of occupation and of activities which are being located in a site modify the pre-existing landscape and adjust the new situation to the elder one. The problem with the proper excavation at the moment, in my opinion, is a problem of feasibility, is a problem of time, a problem of cost, of course, and is moreover, and this is for me also quite important, the pressure our work lay on the local inspectorate and the difficulties on part of the inspectorate to support these activities, which is really making, I think, this kind of work even more difficult. Grazie.